no power on earth or in heaven or hell can shake the rock of our salvation. It is on that rock that we plant our faith.
The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about fear. For several days we talked about doubt, and then we talked about the fear of the Lord, and fear is the subject for several days. One of the things that I said was, if you learn to fear God, then you need fear nothing else. It's important that we learn to fear God, to stand in awe of Him, to recognize that He is the Lord of the universe, and our very breath is in His hand. How can we not fear Him, realizing His awesome holiness, His power, His sovereignty, and at the same time, His love? It's important to learn to fear Him in order not to fear so many other things. The Bible, 65 times at least, tells us not to be afraid. It also tells us to be afraid of God Himself. What are you afraid of? What would you say characterizes a Christian as opposed to a non-Christian? Well, we might come up with a fairly long list, but it certainly seems to me that one of the things that ought to be an outstanding characteristic of everyone who names the name of Christ is freedom from fear. We are still human. God does not whisk us at once to heaven when we become Christians and receive Christ as Lord of our lives. But nevertheless, He has promised to give us victory. He says, in the world, you will have trouble or tribulation. But cheer up, I have overcome the world. In other words, He is Lord of everything of which we might be afraid. In Isaiah, the 8th chapter, verses 11 to 13, we read, "These were the words of the Lord to me, for His hand was strong upon me, and He warned me not to follow the ways of this people. You shall not say, quote, too hard, unquote, of everything that this people calls hard. You shall neither dread nor fear that which they fear. It is the Lord of hosts whom you must count hard. He it is whom you must fear and dread. He shall become your hardship, a boulder and a rock, which the two houses of Israel shall run against, and over which they shall stumble." I want to read that phrase again. You shall neither dread nor fear that which they fear. Basically, all of us as human beings fear death. And it might be said that every other kind of fear comes under that heading. Think about it. We are subject to bondage. We are mortals. We are vulnerable. We are in peril every minute of our lives. Something happens every now and then to remind us of how close we are to death. You've all had narrow escapes of one kind or another, haven't you? Jim Elliot, my first husband, long before he was actually speared to death by some Indians in South America, had been in a car that got stuck on a railroad track. And, just like in a novel, there was a freight train coming. The men that were in the car had absolutely no choice but to jump out and to leave the car to be demolished, which it was in front of their eyes. And that sobered Jim considerably. Just yesterday, the announcement was made of the death of one of the young men in our church in an automobile accident. early that morning, and his friend, another young man in the same church, whose father happened to be sitting right next to me, was also in the car. The second man was not injured, but I imagine that today he is thinking very seriously about death. How close are we? We never know, do we? Fear of losses of all sorts. There are lots of things to be afraid of if we don't know God. But if we know God, shouldn't it make a difference? Ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Is it something over which God is not Lord? Is it something that the Bible allows me to fear? There are so many reasons why we should not fear. And just recently, I came across several yellow legal pad sheets that my mother had made. There's no date on them. But she had made a study of the reasons why we should not be afraid. And I'm certainly not going to read you all those yellow sheets. But she begins with Genesis 15:1, "Because the Lord is thy shield and great reward." Those were God's words to Abraham, "Fear not, for the Lord is thy shield and great reward. The Lord is with thee. The Lord will go with thee. The Lord will fight for thee. The Lord is come to prove thee. The Lord is with us. He has delivered him from the enemy. He goeth before you to fight for you. He has given the enemy into your hand." All of those are from Genesis to Joshua. And I could go on and on. Let me read you a few from the New Testament. "Because the Lord Jesus is there. Do not be afraid, but go and tell this people. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, but speak. Do not be afraid of their terror." Another command that we are not to fear the things that the people who don't know God fear. We have a good reason for not being afraid. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to have a conversation with General William K. Harrison. I asked him a question that I've asked other people that I know have been in positions of great danger. General Harrison was, of course, in World War II, and I was sure that he had had a good many experiences in which, naturally speaking, he would have been afraid. So I said, "Have you ever been afraid?" I was amazed at the simplicity and almost offhandedness with which he answered my question. "Well," he said, "no, I don't think so." And, of course, I looked at him in astonishment, and he just said, "Well, you see, I've always trusted the Lord." As if, so what else is new? I mean, what did you expect me to say? "Why would I be afraid?" And I said, "You mean all through World War II, you weren't afraid?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got shot a few times. I got in some tight places." But he said, "I've always trusted the Lord." And then he told me how, not very long before this occasion, he had been sitting quietly in his living room when he began to hemorrhage. And he said, it was certainly a surprise, but he said, all the way to the hospital in the ambulance, I was just thinking, isn't it wonderful that the Lord is with me? I can trust the Lord. He knows all about this. Was he not afraid for his wife, for his family, for our country? No, he said, I committed them to the Lord. In my book, A Lamp for My Feet, which is a series of meditations taken from some of my quiet time notes, I've written one little paragraph on the subject of I will not be afraid. News reports come every day concerning economic and political calamities about to befall us all, not to mention famines, tornadoes, earthquakes, and volcanoes, things which may at any moment strike us or the people we love. There are always plenty of good reasons to be afraid unless you know that things are under control. A Christian has this inside information. Things are, in fact, under control. God is our refuge, our strength, our mighty fortress. Nothing will get by the moat of His protection without His permission. To be afraid of what happens today or what may happen tomorrow is not only an awful waste of energy, it is not only useless, it is disobedient. We are forbidden to fear anything but the Lord Himself. When Christians in China were being hounded to death in the 1930s, One of them, I am told, wrote this simple song, which has helped me in countless times of fear, ever since I learned it as a high school girl. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will look upward and travel onward and not be afraid. Then here's another one from that same book, A Lamp for My Feet. The king's heart quivered as the trees in the forest shake before the wind. That's from Isaiah 7, 2. Isaiah tells us in the story of Syria's occupation of Ephraim, the worst had happened. The thing Ahaz feared had come upon him and he was terrified. So are we when we seem to have no defense against something. We are at the mercy of an enemy, debt or disease or disaster or doubt, and we wait, quivering in fear for our final ruin. Then we are reminded of our sure defense, the only absolutely impregnable stronghold, the word of the Lord, and when he speaks, this plan shall not succeed, it shall never come to pass, as he said to Ahaz, we are safe. No power on earth or in heaven or hell can shake the rock of our salvation. It is on that rock that we plant our faith and stop quivering. Just stop quivering. Slow down, sit down, kneel down, be silent before God. Rest your heart on the rock that is higher than you, on the rock that will never move.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.